17 minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bulbart. You've got us until 6:30 tonight. Cavaliers basketball coming your way when we wrap up. Don't forget tomorrow, WEOL midterm election coverage beginning at 7:30 and going straight through until 10 o'clock. Time for us to head to the hotline right now as we get our weekly Hollywood fix. We bring in our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. Michael, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to talk to you guys again.
Well, I want to start with something that blew me away a little earlier this morning. Rumors have been circulating about a second Gladiator movie, and I don't know if they're planning on making this a remake, a prequel, a sequel. Now, it's been 18 years, and by the time this thing is released, who knows, maybe 20 years will have elapsed, but I don't know how in the world they plan on putting this thing together simply because the two main characters in the original died, spoiler alert, although if you haven't seen it yet, when it came out 18 years ago, so you're way behind the eight ball. But any idea how they're going to go forward with this? Do you think it's a remake, a prequel, a sequel? How do you think they're doing it?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a sequel to the original story. Ridley Scott, who of course made the original, is developing this new movie. It's unclear if he's going to be directing it or just producing or what his full involvement will be, but we know that it's going to be written by Peter Craig, who wrote The Town as well as a couple of The Hunger Games movies. So it has a high pedigree behind it. Like you said, the main character, the hero, and the villain both die in Gladiator, so neither Joaquin Phoenix nor Russell Crowe will be returning. From what we've heard, the story is going to follow Joaquin Phoenix, his character's nephew, Lucius, in the movie, and that's about all we know. We don't really know if he's taking over as emperor, if he's going to be the gladiator himself, or really anything beyond that. There's no real timeline so far as to when this movie is going to happen, but or if it's going to happen, but Ridley Scott does have kind of a history of talking for a long time about making follow-ups to some of his biggest films and then succeeding in doing that. We got a new Blade Runner movie just recently, and of course the Aliens franchise has continued on. So I would bet solid money on this movie actually coming out. But beyond that, it's a big question mark as to what the story is going to be or honestly how good of a sequel it might be to the Oscar-winning original.
Well, and speaking of questions moving forward, that leads me into my next topic here. How big of a deal is it that Rick Grimes is off The Walking Dead, at least for now? I mean, I seem to talk to people who are just waiting for The Walking Dead to come to an end because they feel like it's been going on for far too long now. But how big of a deal is it that Rick Grimes is off, at least for now?
I think that's it's an excellent question, and honestly, I'm guessing that AMC is particularly worried about what the answer to that might be. The show, as far as a rating standpoint, had one of their worst season premieres this year. They lost half of their audience from last year's premiere, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're doomed in the age of streaming, but it is certainly a big signifier that people are starting to get a little bit tired of the show or their audience is thinning. From a creative standpoint, I think this gives them an opportunity to kind of hit the reset button a little bit to find new and compelling ways to kind of move forward in their story. But it's also an opportunity or there's the possibility, I guess, that the show could really kind of collapse under not having their main character who's driven it from the very beginning there. There's a long history of TV shows that have had that issue. But like I said, it does give them a chance to kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. I mean, this is a series that has already spun off into another show, Fear the Walking Dead. And shortly after the finale last night, it was announced that Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick Grimes, will be returning to play the character in several potential spin-off movies that might start shooting as early as next year. And they will continue the story of Rick Grimes, and without giving any spoilers as to what happened in the finale last night, we'll pick up where his character's story left off in the his last episode. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those spinoff series, but honestly, this is a make-or-break moment for The Walking Dead, whether or not it kind of continues to be this big cultural phenomenon or just starts to begin its slow fade towards the end.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we got to focus on the box office here. I've heard some good things about Bohemian Rhapsody. I know there was a lot of hype leading up to its release this weekend. The reviews, though, were just okay, although this film did pretty well here in the States, and it did very, very well internationally. Thoughts on Bohemian Rhapsody and the action that it's gotten so far after its first weekend?
Yeah, $50 million this weekend. It's the second largest opening for a music biopic after Straight Outta Compton. I think a big surprise to everyone, it outpaced even its projections for the box office. But this is another example, kind of like we talked about last week, with a movie like Venom, where bad reviews, but great word of mouth. This is a movie with an A cinema score, which judges audience reaction to films. So it had a lot of positive buzz from the people that actually saw it. It certainly helped that it features the music of Queen, and that's an easy draw for some people who may avoid reviews or not put a lot of stock into them. And it also helps that Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, he's getting just fantastic reviews from it, even from critics who didn't like the film. He has a shot at an Oscar nomination, so that certainly had to help the buzz. But overall, we've seen, like I said, just a rise in word of mouth and this sort of cinema score, what audiences are actually saying, having a big effect on movies outside of reviews. But also, we've seen a lot of musicals do really, really well at the box office over the last few years. I mean, just looking at La La Land, The Greatest Showman, there was the Mamma Mia sequel that did well, and even A Star Is Born has done really well. And so I think you're going to see a lot more musicals moving forward. They seem to be pretty lucrative, not only at the box office, but you can sell soundtracks for that as well. So I think this is part of a trend. We'll see maybe who the next biopic is or what the next big musical is, but certainly a big surprise for this particular film.
Well, there were some pretty interesting takeaways last night. I mean, I know this is a film we'll talk about a little bit later as well, just because, again, there was so much hype leading up to it. There was a lot of hype, though, last night surrounding the Hollywood Film Awards. What were your major takeaways from the award show last night?
Well, this is sort of, it's one of the early award shows. It's not necessarily as prestigious as some of the bigger ones that will come to follow, but it really is one of the first big kickoffs of award season, and really the first time that people who will eventually be voting for the Golden Globes or the Academy Awards start to get to interact with these films and interact with these performers. So it does kind of give you an early assessment of what movies are going to kind of dominate the conversation for the next few months. And what we saw was, first of all, this backs up the early Oscar buzz for Timothée Chalamet, who won Best Supporting Actor for Beautiful Boy. He is supposed to be one of the big front runners for an Oscar this year, and kind of backing up his reputation as a young star in the making. And it also really helped back up early Oscar buzz for Glenn Close for The Wife and Damien Chazelle, who directed First Man. So it kind of gives them their first award that they can kind of use in their award campaign as they move forward closer towards the Oscars and again, the Golden Globes. But it also gave us a pretty good indicator of what Hollywood is starting to think about their industry and kind of reflecting on the films of this past year. And you saw a lot of diversity. You saw a win for Breakout Ensemble for Crazy Rich Asians, which had a huge summer, a big award, the Hollywood Award for Black Panther, which, of course, was a massive, massive hit, and awards for Amanda Sternberg from The Hate U Give and John David Washington from BlacKkKlansman, really showing a lot more diversity than some of the major award shows have shown in the last year and really reflecting a major trend within the industry.
Well, you had alluded to some of these things that are coming up a little bit later on this month, and I know this is usually the time of the year where the box office really picks up steam, ramping up for award season, and I've seen some previews that look pretty interesting in November, and I'm sure there are going to be more we get excited about into December. Creed's one of the first films that comes to mind. That's getting a lot of hype now, releasing right around Thanksgiving time. As you look at the slate of movies that are to be released this month, what are the ones that have you the most excited?
There's a couple. Creed is certainly one of them, and it shows like there's a lot of movies coming out this month that kind of walk the line of Oscar contender or blockbuster. So you have a little bit of both as you get people coming towards the movie theaters for the holiday season. But yeah, Creed 2 is certainly one of the biggest releases that I'm very excited for. The first one was fantastic in bringing back the entire original cast and then tying it in even closer with the original Rocky series. That's one I'm very excited for. Also on the blockbuster front, you have The Girl in the Spider's Web, continuing The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series, starring Claire Foy from The Crown. This one should be pretty exciting, if the trailers are any indication. You have another Harry Potter movie, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, which should be another huge release for Warner Brothers. And then you have a couple of big Oscar movies that are making their sort of national debuts in November. Widows is one I know I've mentioned before. I think that one is going to be kind of straddling the line between blockbuster and Oscar movie. It's going to be very exciting to see. But you have Boy Erased, which was written and directed actually by Joel Edgerton. It's gotten great buzz. It stars Nicole Kidman and Lucas Hedges, and it's about the son of a Baptist family who comes out as gay, and they're kind of the fallout from that. Has gotten rave reviews for both Nicole Kidman and Lucas Hedges already. And If Beale Street Could Talk from Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, that's another one that has had pretty massive early Oscar buzz from its festival screenings and will be a big one to watch throughout the Oscar season. So, yeah, a lot of things to see over the next month or so.
Not to mention the movie of the year, as far as I'm concerned. The trailer's dropped already. It's supposed to come out around Christmas time. Holmes and Watson. God, I can't wait for that. I really hope they're still on target to release right around Christmas time. I've been waiting for those two to make another movie again for 10 years. I can't wait much longer, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, Michael, before we cut you loose, my friend, we need this week's picks to click.
Sure. Two great ones to watch on streaming. The first on Amazon Prime is Homecoming, starring Julia Roberts. It's based off of the excellent hit podcast of the same name. And Julia Roberts plays a military psychologist who worked on a top secret program. And years later, when investigators come to ask her about it, she has no recollection of it. And that's sort of the baseline of the plot there. I'll leave everything else up for you to discover, but it's well worth your time. Very bingeable and very good. And also coming out this weekend on Netflix is The Outlaw King, starring Chris Pine, who is playing the legendary King of Scotland, Robert the Bruce, as he is forced into exile by the English and leads a band of outlaws to help reclaim his throne. This is kind of adjacent to the story from Braveheart, and Chris Pine has gotten really good reviews in advance of this. So both of those worth your time streaming over the next week or so.
Very good stuff. Michael, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We look forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you very much again. Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Time for a break as we approach the top of the hour. That means in just a moment, we'll tell you what's going on with your money. And then Matt Douglas will tell you what's happening with the local news. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140.